Nicholas, just before the bottom of the hour, you said that something happened as a result of all of this, meaning the planning of the accident. What was it that happened?
Well, I mean, when you say what happened, you mean from the point of view that it was organized for their, quote, mm-hmm. accidental, unquote, death?
Right.
Right. Well, various things have to, what the forces carried out was that they hijacked one of the cars that was used by the Ritz Hotel, and in April, that is like 4 months before her death, that was conveniently hijacked and allegedly stolen and ripped apart and destroyed, and then it was, of course, had to be repaired and put back again. And it was at that time, I understand, that high-performance trackers were put onto it, listening devices installed in it so that no one would know or realize who was riding around in that car. And then it was put back into service after mm-hmm. several months.
And was that the car they were in?
That was the car that they were in. Now, ironically, that car was brought up at the last minute from the basement garage. They were going to go in the Merc that they'd used during the day. And surprise, surprise, just before they were due to go off for the night, at midnight, if you recall, mm-hmm. The car was swapped. And this car that had been set up was put in its place.
Well, now, was there something done to the car to change it mechanically so that the driver would have a problem controlling it, or did they just put listening devices in it?
No, all that was done was listening devices and, uh-huh. and trackers on it as well at that stage. However, what also was done at that time was that before it was brought up that on that occasion, in the, whatever it was, it takes about 20 minutes to do, the seat belts were tampered with. What happens, and it is quite well known, that the pin that holds the seat belts tight when is filed down. Now, you can either file that down so that the belts easily fly off without having to use two hands to open them, mm-hmm. or it can be tougher, where it needs quite a push to do it. But this is something that many bodyguards do for themselves when they're riding in the passenger seat, mm-hmm. because they need to be able to leave a car at dramatic speed, as we know on occasions, in cases of emergency.
Sure.
So it's a well-known operation. And Diana, of course, never rode without a seatbelt on. Never, never, never. Unheard of. Not only that, it was the duty of her bodyguard to ensure that before any member of the royal family set off, that they always sit in the back, unless they're driving, they have to have a seatbelt on. And on this occasion, Diana also had a seatbelt on. But as the world now knows, when the car was discovered crashed, Diana had no seatbelt on, nor right. did Dodie.
Right.
Now, we also know, because it's been revealed by the bodyguard himself, who just about survived, and is still in a pretty bad shape, that he put on his seatbelt just before the accident. Now, can anyone really imagine that Diana would have sailed off at speeds in excess of 100 miles an hour through the streets of Paris without a seatbelt on?
I mean, it's hard to imagine. It's hard to imagine. The bodyguard was very, very badly injured.
Right.
Was he paid off to be quiet?
I don't know the exact answer to that, but I'd imagine that he's been very, very well looked after in a very quiet way, mm-hmm. but he was so badly injured, of course, and principally around the head,
right.
it has been suggested that his brain was pretty badly affected. So whatever he said could not now be taken as evidence in a court of law.